May 10th, Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes is coming to IMAX and theaters everywhere.
What a wonderful day!
This summer, one movie event will reign.
It is our time.
They stole my village.
I know where they're taking your clan.
Bend for your king.
Never.
Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Only in theaters May 10. Tickets on sale now. Rated PG-13. Some material may be inappropriate for children under 13.
This episode is brought to you by Jiffy Lube. Cars can be a big investment, so it's important to take care of them. I once got a car that I started out with 25,000 miles on. I got it to over 200,000 miles because I took care of it. You know how you take care of a car? You take care of the maintenance, the oil, the brakes, all that stuff. And if you don't, you can have a car just completely fall apart. When your car needs maintenance, head to Jiffy Lube. They provide automotive excellence at speed. Get your oil changed, brakes checked, tons of other multi-care services. It's all done by expertly trained technicians who actually care about taking care of you and your car. Jiffy Lube, car more. To find coupons and start an instant online estimate, visit JiffyLube.com.
Yo, 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 Thought Warriors. What is up? Our learning is on. It is I, Van Lathan Jr.
And it's me, Rachel Lynn Lindsay. Van.
I got to talk to Donnie when he gets back.
Van, I need you to do me a favor. I noticed something this morning. Call out emotions and I'm going to respond to them.
Call out emotions?
Mm-hmm. Like,
what do you mean?
Call out emotions and I'm going to do a facial reaction to them.
You want me to call out emotions?
Yeah, like happy, sad, surprised.
Let's do this. Okay.
Okay.
I don't know. Is surprise an emotion?
Sure.
Okay. Happy. Angry. That's not angry.
Do you see the problem? Do another one.
Pleased. Jesus,
right? I got too much Botox in my head.
Oh my God. Jesus Christ.
Like, wait. Today I was like, I've done.
Every face looks the same.
This morning, it's really settling in. This is my third time ever getting it in life. And I might have had just a little too much this time. So I was trying to be surprised today, right? And I was like.
So you got it in your forehead.
Well, yeah.
It looks like you're wearing a football helmet.
Okay. Why does it look like I'm wearing a football helmet?
My forehead didn't get.
It is smooth, but
because of the Botox.
Well, yeah, I have natural frown lines. Like I get like that kind of Sharpay, and it gets worse. So I was like, oh, I just need like a little freshen up. I might just had a little too much.
Get angry, Rich, get angry. You can't do it. It's not happening.
Y'all, I'm going to be like this for the next 2 months. And my facial expressions are part of my charm. So I got to rectify this. Anyways, that's a disclaimer for the Thought Warriors who might wondering why I'm looking the same in every frame of this podcast.
So what do we do? What's the answer?
You have to just let it go. You can't reverse Botox. That's why you have to be careful how you get it. Like it can, sometimes people get like an eyebrow stuck up like this because, and like, it'll be like that for 3 months.
What do they do when they do the Botox? Do they inject it? It's an injection? Is that what happens?
Yeah. Yeah. Like I get it here and like here and here, but it is smooth.
It was good.
It's smooth with no emotion.
It looks good, smooth, no emotion. That's
you
gonna
can't
be so
tell funny. How I feel about it. You can't tell how I feel about it, but it's.
I'm good. I'm good. It's been an interesting week. I posted some deadlift videos on the Instagram.
I saw that.
And people were giving me a lot of tips on my deadlift. So maybe people don't understand
it.
Well, no, I am, but I have a rounded back. Like, my back is round from years. Did I ever tell you the story about why I started slouching over? Did I ever tell you this story?
No, but I feel like it's a sad story.
So I remember the exact day that I started slouching. I do. I remember the exact moment I started slouching. So I was walking in the driveway of the apartment complex that we lived in. When we lived in Hawthorne, shout out to York Elementary, York and Prairie, I think it was over there in Hawthorne. So when we lived in Hawthorne, the apartment complex had, like, it was two sides to it. It was like small apartments, like apartments on this side, apartments on that side. And then in the middle, there was a little driveway that you drove through to get to the back of where you would park your car. But that was also where you would walk into your apartment, okay? So there were windows in that little middle driveway thing that you could see your reflection in. I know we had made a basketball hoop back there and all kinds of stuff. So I could see my reflection in the window. But I would just go back there and work on my ball handling. Bang, 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 bang. And I work on my ball handling one day, and I stood up. And when I stood up, I saw little titties popping out of my shirt. Okay? I was like, ooh. And I had never seen that before. This was when the chunk life was first starting to hit. Because if you look at me from elementary school, you know, I had like abs and shit. I wasn't a chunkendale. Yeah, so the chunk life was first starting to hit. And I saw little titties popping out. And I was like, that's not great. I don't want to see those up there, little A cup in a cup dogs. So I was looking at it. I was having like a mini PA. I was like, oh shit. And then I did like this. And I rounded my back. And when I rounded my back, see, you're laughing. This is what happened.
No, it's sad. No.
When I rounded my back, the titties in front went away. Like, you couldn't see them anymore. Like, you see what you just did? See, I was standing up straight. I remember this moment. I looked and I rounded my back. And when I rounded my back, it flattened things out. The titties went away. And for the rest of my life, I had a rounded back. People used to always be like, man, you're 6'4", but you show up in the world as like 6'3". Like, you're hunching. Why don't you stand up straight? And so now what we're trying to do in training is we're strengthening the core, okay?
Okay.
And then we're also doing spine mobility work to get all of that back. We can get that back. We can get it back. But for right now, it makes kind of things look a little weird sometimes. And I would like to thank everybody that reached out on IG. Well, I didn't fucking ask you to critique the shit.
People have so many opinions when it comes to working out. It's just to be expected. When you post a workout video, somebody's always going to talk about like the way you're holding the weights, the way your legs are, the bending your knees, your back's not straight enough, your back's not flat enough. Like, people always have something to say. I liked it. I double tapped. You look good to me.
Thank you. One person that told me that I was doing it wrong, he had titties too.
I was gonna say it was Brian.
Nah, Brian doesn't care about stuff like that. How could Brian take the time to pour into me when he's too busy on the bar getting his? Brian doesn't have the same problems I have. You know how pissed off I would be if Brian jumped on there and tried to give me some type of pointers? I don't want to hear pointers. I don't want to hear pointers from winners of the genetic lottery. That's not who I want to hear from. I saw this one guy was giving me pointers, and I went to his page. I was like, bro, you in the titty club. Like, don't, if you in the titty club with me, don't tell me, like, get out of here. But
you can have an opinion.
But look, this is what I'm saying, though. Seriously, really, it's not that big of a deal. Like, once you put something on the internet in that way, it's people's reflexes to edit you. Like, if you give somebody something that says, hey, would you read this for me? They're going to read it. And then they're going to edit you. Anytime you submit to editing, people are going to try to edit. Just don't even take it personally. But
very true.
I'm getting so strong in the gym. I'm such a bro now.
And I like the confidence of you posting the videos on there. Like, you're proud of what you're doing, and you should be. Good for you.
Wait till I hit the 300 club.
Oh, I thought that was 300. What were you lifting?
I think that was like 250.
You're already there.
That's like 250.
You round to 300.
Yeah, so I did 250 like 8 times, right? And then round up to 300. Nigga, that's 50 pounds. Round up to 300.
It's positive. Today, I'm a glass half full person.
Yeah.
Man. Today.
You're a glass half Botox person. Your glass is not even moving. So water's just still. but yeah, so, you know, I get up to 300. I'm increasing my bench. I'm going crazy. This is me. This is when I go in the gym. I talk to people. Nah, not really. Because there's so many examples in the gym of what to do wrong. That's what I love about the gym. Like, there's so many examples in the gym of people who are annoying, you know? And there's different people. Like, the girls that are in the gym that spend the whole time at the gym looking at their butts, you would think that a guy would be into that. That's aggravating. I don't know why. It's like you do 50 hip thrusts and then you stand in the mirror flexing your butt. God, wait, I'm trying to work out. You know, the guys that go in there and do the crazy type of pull-ups where they're in there, they pull up and then they peek over and they do like this and they look to the left and they look to the right. Nigga, you strong. We get it. We don't. And then somebody always asks them about the pull-ups that they're doing too. And they're like, yeah, it's not a problem. Yeah, man. You know, I learned that. I was watching Jet Li, Shaolin Monks, Volume 3, 1998. And I always wanted to be able to do it in, you know, 13 years of consistent trying. And now I'm to it. So you can do it, bro. You can do it, man. And I'm like, bitch, I'm 270 pounds.
You can get there.
I don't want to try. I don't want you to do it. I want you to do regular pull-ups.
Oh, I can't.
Can you do a pull-up?
Well, did you ever have like the presidential fitness test, physical fitness test that you had to do? We talk about this on the podcast.
I used to eat cookies during that shit. I never participated in that shit. Let me tell you something.
I thought you had that to.
Shit, nah, fuck that shit. Like
that was messed up, whoever designed that.
Make us chubby kids look dumb.
It was honestly low key bullying by the education system. Sit and reach to show how flexible. Running, I think we had to run a mile. You had to do the pull ups. Like, I can't do them this way, like the way you're supposed to. I would try to cheat and I would never. I got the presidential patch one time, but remember it was like based on your age and your weight. Wasn't it weight too?
I don't think that they made us. Bullying. They probably at your school. Made y'all go for the patch. I don't remember a nigga ever getting a patch. I don't remember this situation. I remember one time I got into it with the teacher though, because we were running for it. And Arnold Schwarzenegger at this point was like the presidential advisor of fitness or whatever. This was like maybe before, because he was the president fitness guy, or he was in the doing something with the president fitness and stuff. And they were talking about running a mile. I was like, man, Arnold Schwarzenegger can't run no fucking mile. I was like, you see that big guy's good? I was like, he can't do this. Like, y'all want us to run a mile? I think it was like 7 minutes and 30 seconds. I was like, I sincerely doubt that Arnold Schwarzenegger can run a mile in 7 minutes and 30 seconds. His big, stocky ass. I used to hate shit like that. Don't put me on Front Street. And then I started really getting That's into true. Sports. And I remember in the ninth grade, I was so surprised that I could do pull-ups. I was expecting to fail. I expected failure. Got out there at football camp and was hitting the bitches. But no, the gym has a lot of people. There are people that go to the gym and they dance. And then there are people that go to the gym and
dance?
They be dancing around in there. They be dancing.
I don't like them. What you mean dancing? Dancing to like the next machine?
Nope.
Or dancing in front of the mirror?
They're on the mat and they're getting warmed up and they're, you know, ladies. Because people in the gym, I call them time makers. They're in there trying to make time. Trying to make time with people. Trying to get people and like have a sexual relationship with them. And you can always tell the people you can tell the time makers in the gym. You can tell them for sure. You can tell the guys that are in there trying to make time.
You can definitely tell the guys.
Like, bro, she don't need no help, bro.
could definitely tell the guys. I used to hate going to the gym for that reason.
They would try to make time with you. What would they do?
Well, no, like they just, oh, you need help with that? Oh, let me show you how to do that. Oh, do you need training? Especially the trainers. Oh, you need training? Because I was a faithful LA Fitness person in Dallas. Oh, you know, I do training. Like, let me show you how I used to look and let me show you where I am now. You know, you get a couple of packages. I used to train her, like that kind of stuff. No, I just want to get in and get out. I just want to do cardio. I want to do a class. I might want to watch a little basketball and I want to go home.
Watch basketball, you freak. You're watching the guys playing basketball?
I might step in for like 5 minutes and watch some of the pickup games. And I would know some of the people playing, so.
You'd be out there with pom-poms, cheerleader Rach.
Whoa, don't do that to me.
Cheerleader Rach, like.
Maybe I was warming up to get in the game. Why I got to be a cheerleader?
You said watch. Had you said I'll go watch. Play I didn't basketball.
Say cheer, but I didn't say cheer.
So let me. So this is where the shit gets weird
go ahead,
to me.
Fix it.
Right?
Try to. Go ahead,
I'm not fixing it. I'm not fixing it. I'm telling you, I don't like when people make logical assumptions and then get called out for them. This is what you said. You said you go and you watch basketball. You didn't say play. Mm-hmm. Ding. Then you said play. Sometimes I know people that are out right? there, which makes me think that you are watching to support. Which makes me think that you might give positive reinforcement, which makes me think that you might be cheering them on. That's the way my mind works.
You also gave me pom pom. You also gave me pom pom.
That was a little
now, if I was a man, yeah, was, a little misogyny. You know, you love to add a little misogyny on top. Sprinkle a little misogyny.
That was misogyny. So what? I'm not perfect. I'm not. Look at me right now. I got basketballs in the back, football helmet. This room is a Mojo Dojo Casa house. This room is a Mojo Dojo. If you look over right here, there's a Willie Rofe jersey, a Master P jersey. This room is a Mojo Dojo Casa house. Sure.
You know what that makes me think of? Since you're currently watching my season secretly, but not secretly. Ryan Gosling said in an interview or said to Greta that he, oh my gosh, I can't think of the word, modeled Mojo Dojo Casa house over guys in The Bachelor.
That's funny as hell.
Is it not on point?
That's funny as hell.
The Mojo Dojo Casa house. It was the original. It's the OG.
Yeah. The you know who I don't like, man? It's certain niggas on your season that I don't really fuck with.
Give them to me.
Alex.
Oh, really?
Not my favorite.
I feel like he didn't get that much screen time for you to feel that way.
Don't like him. I wrote down a list of people. Okay.
Alex is at our wedding.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not fucking with him.
Some of my family members thought he was Brian and were telling him congratulations at the wedding.
What does that mean?
They thought they looked alike.
He thought it looked like him and Brian.
My family members were like, congratulations. And he was like, I'm not Brian.
These are the people that I've written down that I really didn't fuck with that much.
Okay.
Dean.
Interesting.
Well, first of all, how did some of these niggas make it so far?
Are you referring to Dean?
Yeah.
I had fun with Dean. He was easy. You bring somebody. Okay, stop.
You always bring somebody along.
Daddy.
Who like isn't a part of the drama, who takes you away from it, who's just like is a good fun time. You need that relief.
Dean.
Keep going.
Dean Daddy.
But why does Dean bother you?
Some of these guys, I just don't like the cut of their jib. I'm gonna be honest with you. So can I be honest with you? Seriously though? This is the only thing I'll say because I don't want to get too into this because I'm waiting for Don to get back. This is the thing that's really bothering me about your season is because I know Brian and mm-hmm. I fuck with Brian. I don't like these niggas.
And they kind of like, wait, I don't know how far you are.
Yeah, I'm pretty far.
So I don't want to say something because I don't know how
far. The only people I like are the guys that I know is Dean and Eric.
You mean Brian and Eric?
Brian and Eric. Yeah, should I say Brian and Eric. And I'm surprised that Eric, I don't want to tell you how far I am, but Peter, really?
Mm-hmm.
It's tough.
You know what it is? You know what with Eric? Did I tell you I met Eric before I went on the season?
Yeah, you told me he fucked up.
Yeah. I really was excited about Eric.
Yeah, man, I'm gonna be honest with you. It's the Peter thing and Peter and Brian's white boys. Could you have seen yourself? with Peter though?
No, that's why I didn't pick him. It only made sense in Bachelor World. It did not make sense in real life. And going to Wisconsin only solidified that for me.
At the same time, it's like we ain't bringing no airline pilots in the crew. That's not a good. You know what I'm saying?
He's an airline pilot. He's not an airline pilot.
I thought
that's
Peter
a different
was an
Peter. That's a different Peter from a different season. This Wait, Peter no. was like a physical fitness guy.
No, because I looked him up after the show.
There's two Peters.
What's the Peter that I'm talking about?
There's Pilot Pete, and he came later.
Oh,
he
was Pilot Pete was an actual. Let me ask you this.
My Peter was like the gray-haired one.
Oh, yeah. The guys from the show. Yeah, let me ask you this, because I wrote all of this stuff down. I wrote a lot of this stuff down.
I thought you wrote it down.
Well, no, because you don't understand right. the way we're going to structure this.
I'm
looking up and doing supplemental information on the guys after, and I don't think that all white boys look alike. But, like, I think to me, when I watch your season, it... First of all, you're different. Okay.
You told me that.
A lot of these guys are different, but I don't think that I think that watching it with Brian, knowing that Brian won, is different. Because I'm looking, I'm like when Brian comes on the screen, it's like, oh, that's B. Now it's you, hey, it was Brian. And Brian is different on the show too. I could see why he's different. I could see Brian was in competition mode on the show. Because this Brian. This Brian that I know now is like the most mellow, like different type of guy. The Brian on the show was a lot more down for it. He wanted to win. So he's in competition mode on the show. It's like a lot different. And everybody looks, even though you guys still look young now, everybody looks younger.
Yeah. I mean, it was 6 years ago.
God damn. Eric didn't get any love, man. A lot of these guys are crazy, bro.
What'd you think about Kenny?
Kenny? Why? Why are you asking me specifically about Kenny?
Just curious. Fans loved him when the season aired.
Didn't really fuck with him. He didn't make it that long. What is it like?
It's because he kept crying over his daughter.
But see, I would have expected shit like that to work on you. Well, Kenny, what, he made it to the fourth or fifth time? Sixth time?
Made it halfway through.
It's like, and how long is it? I think he was out by like...
He made it like six, at least the 6 week.
Like six? Mm-hmm. But like, I didn't really have that much... Like, I don't like niggas like that. You know what I'm saying? What do you mean? These guys, these guys are not... I'm going to be real with you. These guys are not the best guys, man.
You
know what I'm saying? These guys are not the best. You had one dude in your whole season with a black name. Everybody else had a regular white name.
Who was
the one guy? One guy had a black name.
Josiah?
Nah, Josiah don't count. That's not really a black name like that. What are you talking about? Think about it. There was one guy, that had a black name. I was expecting you to have some Jalen's and some...
I kind of was too.
But they did. You had one. Come on, man.
I mean, we're talking so much about it, but you know, the moment that I was crying is because I was telling them that they needed to go back to casting and cast some more people. And they were like, well, we can't. And I was like, you don't understand what's going to happen to me and how I'm going to be judged. And then I remember I was like, do not bring Chris Harrison in here to talk to me. And there was a knock on the door. And there was Chris Harrison. And I was like, he doesn't understand what I'm going through. And I started crying all over again. I was like, that's not the person I need to talk to. Who? Frederick? Oh, my mind mentally would not allow me to remember DeMario. I mean, I think that's clear from the show. Oh, then he was on some real fucked up shit after the show.
What did he say? Like, after?
Really talking about.
Oh, let me look this up. Let me look this up.
Talking about me. Talking about.
What is this?
I'm about to watch it again. Hold on, I'm about to watch it again. I fuck with DeMario now. DeMario is shaking it up. Rachel Lindsay slams DeMario Jackson for accusing her of all. Like, oh my God. I want him on the podcast. Well, I didn't see this.
No. We can't have him on. Him?
Why?
No. I'll tell you more stuff off mic. We can't have him on.
All right, well, fuck DeMario then. Fuck him. Fuck that nigga. Bachelorette, Rachel Lindsay. I never heard about any of this. Maybe find
it. Why would you? This isn't your world. Why would you know any of this?
What is the E&G podcast?
Oh, it was just like some bachelor podcast. But he basically went on there and was like, oh, I always knew Rachel was going to pick a white guy. It was going to either be me or Eric that was going to make it. We were going to be the one. And I'm like, this is coming from the guy who doesn't even date black women. But okay, it's projecting. That's fine.
No disrespect. You just knew she had that vibe. That vibe. Oh, my God. Hey, look at this. Here's this picture of you and him from the basketball thing where he's sitting here wearing the Kobe jersey.
You should have seen when I'm sitting there with Kareem, he was so not interested in anybody but me. He was so nice to me, but let's just say he was only friendly to me.
Bachelorette,
I loved him.
Final recap. Did Rachel Lindsay choose? I haven't seen this yet, so I don't watch the recap. Final recap.
Don't watch the recap.
DeMario never knew me and still doesn't. Ooh, daddy, spicy. I want to relive this whole thing.
Oh, it was like a Twitter thing. Like, cause I used to have a problem with, I didn't know how to look away when people were saying negative things on social media. So I would constantly tweet at people and write people back. And like, yeah, so it was a whole thing with him.
Oh, so you and this nigga don't get along.
I didn't get along with him from the moment I kicked him off the show. And then he went on running like, couldn't keep my name out of his mouth.
Mario, bro. Let me see if DeMario's on social media. I got to say something to him.
Man, don't be bringing stuff up from 6 years ago.
DeMario is Blue Ivy's godfather. He lives here in West Hollywood. He lives here in Los Angeles. You ever run into him?
I've never actually run into him, ever.
You've never seen DeMario around? Mm-mm. Damn,
DeMario. Not once, surprisingly.
If you saw him, would you guys be cool?
Nah. Like, if I don't fuck with you, I don't fuck with you. Period.
Mm-hmm. Well, Rachel, this was something I didn't want to do. I didn't want to get into.
We're not into it. Let's move on.
I didn't want to get into the whole thing.
You're so intrigued by it all. We should bring. And I know they're gonna talk about us because we haven't.
Let's bring DeMario on.
No,
I continue to watch. I got little scouting reports on all of the guys. I've been watching it down.
What do you mean, scouting reports? You had the wrong Peter.
That's only because I did research after. Okay. And I thought he was an airline pilot, and I had airline pilot no because I was and I wrote a whole little thing. Here's what I wrote. This guy would have, hold on. Because I got it here. I got so many weird things in my little notebook.
You're like legitimately pulling out a full notebook.
Yeah. I don't know how I got this fucked up though. Don't know why. It's like this guy would never work in the crew because he is an airline pilot and he would be gone when we are having fun times. And then I have a dash. This is not to say that Brian comes to the fun times that we have. However, however, he has before. And knowing that this guy would not be around would make him untenable for the crew. I looked at all of these guys as how they would fit into our current life, is what I
did. I did that as well. Are you at Hometowns yet?
No.
Okay. I'm not going to say anything.
Like the dude that you were talking about, I'm like one episode after he got... I'm before that. The dude you were talking about, the guy who got crying. This guy.
Who
were talking about, Kenny. The dude who cried.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. All right, let's talk about Trump. You ready? Mm-hmm. All right, on the other side of this break, Trump indicted again. We'll have more catch up with Rachel season because it's really a Brian and Eric season, if I'm being real. Everybody else.
That's who you like.
Yeah, it's a whole thing. That's who you liked.
That's who I like too.
Like you got rid of Eric. You got rid of Eric, and look, the only reason why I know that is because I was doing a little research, but I haven't seen the reason why you got rid of Eric yet. All right, I know you got rid. I know he made top three though. It's disgusting. All right, Trump is on the other side of this. He's indicted again.
This episode is brought to you by Jiffy Lube. Cars can be a big investment, so it's important to take care of them. I once got a car that I started out with 25,000 miles on. I got it to over 200,000 miles because I took care of it. You know how you take care of a car? You take care of the maintenance, the oil, the brakes, all that stuff. And if you don't, you can have a car just completely fall apart. When your car needs maintenance, head to Jiffy Lube. They provide automotive excellence at speed. Get your oil changed, brakes checked, tons of other multi-care services. It's all done by expertly trained technicians who actually care about taking care of you and your car. Jiffy Lube, car more. To find coupons and start an instant online estimate, visit JiffyLube.com.
This episode is brought to you by Hotels.com. I was traveling internationally last year. I was in Mallorca. I didn't know the island well. I said, let me head to the north, head towards the water. Let me go on hotels.com and see what they have available. Something preferably on the beach, maybe even a gym. Not only did I get those things, there was a kids session with exercise, gymnastics in the water, pony rides, a train. It had everything, and I didn't even want any of those things. But at least I knew they were there, just in case I changed my mind. And now finding the perfect hotel has never been easier thanks to the Hotels.com app. Whether you're looking for a family-friendly, right, all-inclusive, or a relaxing spa weekend, you can find exactly what you need and compare hotel prices, ratings, and amenities side by side. So start planning your next getaway and find your perfect somewhere in the Hotels.com app.
All right, Trump. Fake electors plot. Bonnie Willis. 91 charges across 4 indictments, 18 co-defendants. Some of these co-defendants, you know who they are. Rudy Giuliani. Kenneth Cheesebro. Sidney Powell, amongst others. A lot of people involved in this. 2020 presidential election results in Georgia. Like I said, Fannie Willis is doing this. Look, the prosecutors say all these defendants conspired toward the same goal, keeping Trump in office. These are charged under the RICO law, RICO statute, which loops Trump into a criminal enterprise category reserved for mafia bosses and gang leaders. Interesting, a lot of people have pointed this out. Back when he was a U.S. attorney, Rudy Giuliani mm-hmm. was a pioneer in using the RICO to dismantle the mob, and now he is a victim of the RICO. He in love with the RICO. Prosecutors say that Trump organized a network of false claims and potentially illegal action. Unlike previous federal indictments, this RICO charge has the ability to sway anyone away from even thinking of assisting Trump in spreading future election fraud claims. The differences here between the state charges and federal charges. Trump has already been indicted on a federal level for his efforts to overturn the election. State charges and federal charges are obviously not the same. Presidents can issue pardons only for federal crimes. It's very interesting because a lot of people running in this race, including Vivek Ramaswamy, who I watch almost everything that he says now. I'm not sure why, but
I don't either. Yeah, you're so into him.
I'm not into him. I'm just, I
are,
find it.
You are.
I find him. There you go. See you what like you're him. Doing? You're trying you to like turn, him. You're turning this stuff around.
You get because you're you like excited by him. Remember the video you sent us of him singing Lose Yourself? Was that you who sent that? You were so excited. You're like, look at him go. He can rap.
Can't be honest. That's not what I said at all. Oh my God. That's a lie. Rachel Lindsay. The Botox has changed you. Now all of a sudden you're lying on me. No, I do find it interesting to watch him talk. I do. Like he's so full of shit, but he's so good with words. Whatever. It's, I can see why he is actually pulling as well as what he is. I can see why.
Mesmerized by him. Captivated. You sound captivated. It's okay.
I'm saying this is what happens. But a lot of people running, him being one of them. Well, not a lot of them, but some people have said that they would pardon Trump. Of course, with the Georgia charges, you couldn't pardon him because they're not federal charges. There you go. If he's convicted, he's likely to face some time in prison, since several of the charges against him carry mandatory minimum prison sentences. Legal Eagle, you looked at this, entire deal. What do you make of Trump being RICO'd?
I mean, this is definitely outside of my knowledge of law. I didn't practice anything close to this. And also, this is specific to the state of Georgia, right? It's modeled after federal, but it's more broad, from what I'm reading, than the federal RICO statute. I do want to point out that Trump's lawyers, if they haven't already, and I don't think they have, they will try to move this to federal court. I don't know. I have no idea how successful they will be on that, but they will definitely file a motion to try to move this to federal. It's interesting because, you know, right after we finished podcasting this week, you immediately were like, Trump got Trump indictment. I was like, man, it happened. But because we've been talking about it and preparing for this case and we knew it was going to happen, even when it happened, I kind of was like, oh, yeah. In my mind, I was like, yeah, we knew that. I mean, we didn't, obviously. We didn't know who was going to be indicted. We didn't know there were going to be this many people. We didn't know, you know, how she was going to do it or, you know, how it was going to be laid out in the indictment. It's like almost 100 pages. But yeah, I mean, I think the bigger thing for me is how does this land with the public as we're coming closer and closer to March 2024 and the primaries? That's more, I guess, how I was looking at it. More than the actual charges in the case that's against him. You have some people saying that this is a more simple case to prove. Some people are saying this is complicated. Fani's been successful on the RICO in like different circumstances before. She had used it with teachers who were changing test scores, standardized test scores, and was successful on that. So we know that she's like very well-versed with RICO, the state laws there in Georgia with RICO, and likes to use this because it is so broad. And it's a little bit more simple to prove, from my understanding. But my thing is, right before this came out, remember Trump was like, I just need one more indictment to secure the election. Do you think that that's true?
No, I don't think it's true. And also, I don't care anymore. If you look
what do you not care about? The indictments, so, Trump winning, that obviously that he's going to be the nominee. Which part do you not care about?
So I don't think it's true that an indictment helps him. If you look at some of the polling that's out just recently, the polling, Trump is polling about 53% unfavorable right now. And also a majority of Americans that are polled, and this was a Fox News poll, think that Trump actually did something illegal. And those are numbers that are interesting to me. But I don't care. Like, I don't care how it affects the the election, excuse me, in terms of his popularity. I couldn't care less. I don't think that should even be as widely discussed as it is. I understand that we're in a political era right now. We're leading up to an election, so everyone wants to know how everything that a candidate does affects his popularity. But I think there are some things that kind of get jumped over when we start having that discussion. And let me tell you why. So for people who understand this case, this is about Trump essentially sending fake electors to the Georgia legislature, right? Like, you guys know how the Electoral College works. There, you win the popular vote, and then
there are electors who have these pieces of paper, and then they take those pieces of paper to the legislature, and they certify these electors, and they send them on in to the national situation so that those are counted as part of the Electoral College. Mm-hmm. What we're talking about in these states where Trump essentially used fake electors are like literally counterfeit means of stealing an election. It's literally, yep. Hey, the electors that are actually the people that are supposed to make this decision, we're going to send different electors with fake pieces of paper to these places in order to steal an election. Then either Vice President Pence ratifies or certifies these fake election claims or throws them all out, throws it back to the House. And then the House, which was in a Republican majority, then votes and Trump is the president. It's actually trying to steal an election. I think the the seriousness of the crime here is being sort of diluted.
Or, I don't think so.
I think the seriousness of the crime here is being depowered by a lot of the talk about the political ramifications of what's going on. I think it's historically, historically pernicious when you talk about somebody that was in that particular position trying to fake out an American election. Right. And I personally think that a lot of times we talk a little bit more about the political fallout from this than what was actually happening. If Trump is guilty of this, and obviously there's the presumption of innocence, then this is an incredibly serious thing that the American public needs to get to the bottom of. And I was watching Ari Melber, and they had exclusive news over on Ari Melber. And that news was that there's an audio tape of Roger Stone from November 3rd.
It's video. There's video.
Yeah, laying out this plot of how they would do this. The reason why that date is important, as Ari said on his show, is because that's prior to the election being over. The votes hadn't been counted. So there was absolutely no way to know who had won the election. They were planning to do this, according to this tape by Roger Stone, right? They were planning to do this before the outcome of the election was known. So they were going into this either thinking that they might lose and having a plan to steal the election, or saying, no matter what, we're not leaving.
Which was speculated.
Right.
Remember, they would talk about how either way, because he would always say going into the election, if I don't win, there was election fraud. He always planted that in even before the votes were actually even counted. He had been putting this theory out there. So to have it corroborated now by Roger Stone's video audio, then yeah, everything that people had been suspicious about is now seems like, there was actually truth behind it. I do think, and that's why I started off saying that once Trump got indicted in Georgia, it was like, oh, it's now happening. But the reason I don't think that we're just glossing over what he's actually being charged with is because we've been talking about it for such a long time. It's just now happening. We've been talking about fake electors. We've been talking about, the threat for him calling the Secretary of State there. We've been talking about all those things, which is why people said the Georgia case was going to be so crucial, which is one of the strongest cases because of the evidence that's out there regarding the things that he's being accused of. So I don't think we're glossing over it. I just think that we've been talking about it for such a long time, and now it's here. And it's like, it's here now. Let's talk about this in the fact that 2024 is coming up as well. And like you said, the polling has changed. And I think it refutes the things that Trump's been saying about the fact that if I get another indictment, this is going to help me secure the election. I think it's important to talk about how this is affecting independent voters. They seem to be the numbers are decreasing for Trump in regard since these indictments continue to come with independent voters. They're turning on Trump as well. So I do think it's important to talk about, especially because the last podcast we were saying how Biden and Trump are neck and neck. So you do have to talk about the political ramifications in light of this new indictment.
Yeah. So you talk about the political ramifications. The reason why I don't care about what the political ramifications are.
You laugh every time you say that.
I don't care because I don't think that there's much that can happen right now for Trump not to be the nominee of the GOP.
I don't think there's much
that can happen, right? And so, you know, I'm interested in unraveling a plot to steal an American election. And I'll say this.
I'll say this.
And obviously there was a federal indictment around this conspiracy as well. So there are a lot of people that are, you know, asking the question about whether or not people are piling on here or what the state's role in this is. And I think this is not the end of it. I think that there could possibly be indictments in in Nevada and in Arizona over this because this fake electors plot was widespread, right? It was a national web of like fucking criminal bullshit, right? But I do think that there is a little bit of murkiness in the American consciousness about what actually did happen. Okay. And that murkiness allows the right to spin a web that misleads people. Like the way that they're actually able to say, you know, this is a free speech case. Donald Trump is able to say or speculate that he won the election and he's able to challenge the election. So all of these things that people are saying, this is a free speech case. It's a free speech case. That's not what we're talking about. He is definitely able to say that the election wasn't fair. Hillary Clinton did that. Stacey Abrams did that. He's actually able to use legal means to challenge an election. That's part of democracy. We've seen that. What he's not able to do is then like cook up a conspiracy in form, thought, and action to steal an election. And I think that when we start having these conversations, that there is a part of Americana that doesn't understand like what went on here. Even in him, the conversation with Raffensperger that we all heard, where he's trying to find more votes, that's clearly election interference right there. But that's like leaning on somebody else to fuck with election numbers and fuck with vote counts in Georgia. That's like saying, hey, wink, wink, go do something in order to help us. That's even different than cooking up a scheme, putting the scheme in action, using the fact that the vice president is in your administration, counting on the fact that you then have a majority in the House to actually try to steal an election. That guy's got to go to jail, right?
Yeah.
If you cook up that type of scheme, that guy and his cronies and everybody that was down with it has got to go to jail, which is another reason to me why I think the RICO is such a strong tool to have here, because the more people that are wrapped up in this RICO, obviously you might get somebody pulling some on Biles and flipping, you know? So I don't know. We'll see.
And but
I think it's important that Americans understand exactly what Donald Trump is being charged with here. You know, this is fucking serious shit. And it's not, to me, as serious as the documents case is. That's a serious case. It's more serious than the documents case. As serious as Alvin Bragg and his indictment in New York.
Leaving Alvin alone. He was the first to do it.
It's a strong thing that you probably shouldn't do, but not necessarily that big of a deal.
Just let Alvin be. It's got real quiet up there in New York.
Not necessarily that big of a deal. This is actually something to me. And if they have what they need to prove this, then not only is Donald Trump unfit, he's criminal. And I care more about that than whether or not people care about him. Like really right now, he could come out right now and say that he had sex with Mother Teresa and
like
no one would care. Like they don't care. It's so what they think. I care whether or not this guy tried to steal an American election. It's obvious that in my opinion, that he tried, you know?
Yeah. I get it. Agree.
Are you aware of what a left tackle does in football? I'm sure you are.
Yes, they protect the quarterback.
Protect the quarterback. Specifically, protect the quarterback's blind side. Which is the name of the movie, People, Blind Side. If you ever read the book by Michael Lewis, the book is a lot about a lot more than the Tuohys and Michael Orr. It's about the actual...
Well, he was. It is more about the Tuohys, you said?
No. It's about a lot more. Michael Lewis's book, The Blind Side, is about a lot more than just...
Than the Tuohys.
It's about the left tackle position. It's about modern football. It's about a lot of things. And it talks about this. Talk about blind side.
The movie tries to do that, right? Like, remember at the beginning, like, they kind of try to break it down. Sandra Bullock's talking, and she's like, do you know what the left tackle is? Blah, 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 blah. Yeah.
I never liked that movie. I'm going to be real with you.
I did. And I know you're not surprised.
Of course not.
I liked it. I'm not going to lie. I liked it.
I never liked that movie.
I wasn't caught up in it, but I liked it.
I used to talk about this on TMZ. I never liked that movie because there's like this thing, and I've seen it happen even in Baton Rouge, right? So Baton Rouge, I went to McKinley High School. That's in the bottom, okay? Shout out to McKinley. It's in the bottom. Now, in the area that we're in, there's a lot of good athletes. A lot of good athletes around that area, South Baton Rouge. And, you know, lots of blicks, lots of Blick Panthers, lots of blicks. Okay, a lot of good athletes. When you look at McKinley Sports, especially now, not as much as when I was going there, you don't see those athletes that come from those areas dominating at McKinley. Why?
Okay.
Because you'll see athletes go to Catholic High. You'll see them sometimes go to Parkview Baptist. You'll see them go to other schools in other areas. And what happens is these guys compete for the Rams, or they compete for these other teams, these bitty teams when they're in middle school. And then these people see them, and all of a sudden, they live in some white people's houses.
You saw that?
In Baton Rouge?
Interesting. See, I didn't, but go ahead.
Yeah. They living in these white people's houses, and, oh, man, Mr. Jim and Miss Carrie really took good care of me. And you see, they sign a letter to go to LSU, or maybe they'll go to some other school, and you'll see their white people behind them and black people behind them, and everybody will be looking like, God damn, man, they ain't got another one.
See, going to First Baptist Academy, they didn't recruit people like that. Like, they didn't recruit people just to, and then have them live with them. Like, sports, our football team wasn't that in any kind of way. So I never really saw that happen. So that's why I'm like, interesting. I'm not saying it didn't happen. I just never saw it growing up.
Remember Missouri had this like stud receiver. And when he was drafted, you know, they told this heartwarming story about the white family that took him in. I'm like, yeah, you know, you see a kid, he's 14, he runs fucking 3.9, 40-yard dash, and then you go, we got to give him a good home. And then all of a sudden, it's like, yeah, go! Yeah! Go, LaDondrick! Wow! And like, you know, and I'm not saying that these people don't love these kids, but I'm just saying, you know, it's
they
a lot of...
They see an opportunity.
Or there's a reason why it's just too close to how black men have traditionally proved their value in America, which is you could lift a bunch of heavy stuff, you could run fast, and now we love you. It's just too close to it. So I never liked this The Blind Side story, and apparently it's gone all bad now. Michael Orr, he played at Ole Miss, and then after he played at Ole Miss, he went to play for the Baltimore Ravens for some years. He's filed a legal petition claiming that Sean and Leanne Tuohy did not legally adopt him, which was the story behind The Blind Side. They saw Big Mike walking around and go, Big Mike.
Remember how Big Mike was walking around?
Big Mike was fucked up in the movie. Yes. Big Mike was fucked up, down on his shit. And then he played basketball with the son, and Big Mike was dunking shit. It's a fucking freak athlete. And they was like, yo, we know you probably eat more than anybody in this whole fucking county, but we want to give you a place to stay. Okay. Never mind that this is not the real story of Michael Orr's life. He was already a dog, all right, in football and basketball when they found him. So they just made that up for the movie. He was already a dog. But he says that they tricked him into making them his conservators before earning millions from what he said was his falsified life story in the Oscar-nominated film, Oscar-winning film. She won for that. The Blind Side. Each of the four members of the Tui family were paid $225,000 for the film, plus 2.5% of the film's proceeds. Michael claims he received nothing, his petition, for a story that wouldn't have existed except for him. Now, Rachel, I thought that he was adopted, okay?
We all did.
But what is a conservatorship? We've all heard the term. What does this mean? I asked you a little bit about it before we left. Like, so, because Britney Spears had one of those. And I thought that's something that you got when you couldn't take care of yourself. Why did they get a conservatorship for him? Like, what's going on?
I don't know why they got a conservatorship. And I apologize for the noise in the background. I think there's a vacuum going on. What's more troubling is, first off, a conservatorship, to answer your question, is somebody who has complete authority over your finances, your estate, and it's usually given to somebody who's a minor. So, like, if you have a child actor, your parents, you know, they have parental rights over you. Or maybe, like, a manager would come in and might be a conservator, you know, to set, like, be over your financials because, you know, you're a child actor, your parents don't know, nobody really knows what you're doing. But when you're an adult, it is very hard to get a conservatorship because you have to show that the person is incapacitated, like that they mentally are not able to have control over their life. They're not able to make certain decisions, financial decisions, decisions over, like, their life, their estate. So the fact that he signed this when he was 18, I mean, I get how he could have been duped. He's 18. He doesn't know. He thinks he's being adopted, whatever. But the fact that they not only made him sign it as an adult, I have no idea how a judge signed off on that. I have no idea how that was able to happen, that he was able, that this even existed. Britney Spears is the most popular one, and as of late, that everybody recognizes. And you saw how hard, one, for her to originally get it, and then two, to get rid of it. And not only did they sign this, get him to sign it, it still exists. And how old is Michael Orr? That's the thing. Okay, it doesn't matter anything that the Tuis are saying right now. The fact that it was still in place is wild to me. So any claim that they're trying to make, the question right back to them is, so why is there still a conservatorship? One, why did you have it in the first place? And two, why is there still one?
So
it's wild that this was able to happen.
So a couple of things. Number one, apparently the Tuis and Michael Orr have been estranged for going on 10 years.
The conservatorship
still remains. There are some interesting things here, though. Uh-huh. Number one, these people are rich as shit.
Yeah.
They don't need Michael Orr to be rich. They're rich as shit. The father, Sean, is the all-time leading assist man in SEC history. He played basketball at Ole Miss. Was drafted into the NBA. That's not where he made his money. He owned a bunch of fast food restaurantes, and he sold his business for $220 million. In Mississippi money, that motherfucker might as well be Jeff Bezos. You got $220 million in Mississippi, you're the fucking man, okay? Like, he rides around fucking Mississippi in a spaceship. He's rich, okay? They also say that Michael never thought that he was actually adopted, that he knew that he wasn't adopted, and that the conservatorship was necessary because in order for them to take care of him and do all kinds of other things for him and sign stuff for him and do some of the stuff for him that they were doing short of adopting him, that they needed the conservatorship. I'm looking at that right now. So they claim that there was a legal reason. Rachel says no.
No, I'm just saying what kind of authority, why did they need a document in place to get him to sign stuff? He's 18. No, these people wanted to control him and they were able to do that. You know, that's, you see it in the movie about him going to their alma mater, their college. This is all part of the conservatorship. It's probably, they were making decisions on his behalf. They were telling him what to do. They were controlling him. I don't know when or if that ever stopped, but this was a means of control under the guise that he was family.
So the conservatorship filings 2004, it says that Orr wanted Sean and Leanne Toohey to be his legal guardian until he turned 25 or until the conservatorship was terminated by court. They say all that's false. They say they didn't really make any money off the movie. We were never offered money. Or he has a new book coming out. His new book says, When You're Back Against the Wall. Yeah, he's got a book coming. He says, the things that I went through and had to go through to that point, I went through 3 to 18 when I moved into the Toohey family, who I'm grateful for letting me stay my senior year there. But you have to understand what it took for me to get to that point. He talked about it. So this is the deal. A lot of stuff going on here. A couple of things. Number one, this is what I believe, sincerely believe. I believe that this was more about them wanting him to come to Ole Miss than it was about them making any money off him. They're big time Ole Miss people. They're gigantic Ole Miss people. Huge Ole Miss people. The Grove, Oxford, whole deal. They love it. I think they wanted to secure an outstanding left tackle for Ole Miss. And people might think, Van, why would they care more about him going to the college than they would care about anything that he would make in the future or do in the future? And I'm saying, if you're questioning how much or the lengths that one family would go through to secure a player of that stature, you don't know very much about SEC football. I think that the whole thing was, I've said this before, I said it on this, go, we see this guy, he needs a place to live, boom, come in, nigga. You now live at our house. In exchange for living at our house, guess where you're going to go? You're going to goddamn go to Ole Miss. And the reason why I feel like that is because a lot of these guys that get fucking captured from these inner city places and go live with these white families in Baton Rouge, boom, straight to LSU. Most of the time they go to LSU. If they go to LSU, 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 LSU. So what I'm saying is, a lot of this stuff has to do with them engineering his future in that very specific way. In terms of everything that's going on now, look, they got Marty Singer to rep them. They're not fucking around. I don't know if this was exactly a money play in order to control his future earnings. I'm not sure about that. It's a very rich family. But I do know that if y'all going to be around here kidnapping niggas to play sports, y'all got to keep it on the level, bro. Like, that's what, if y'all gonna be harvesting these black areas to have these niggas play sports, that's what they do. If y'all gonna be harvesting them, keep it on the level. Don't Britney Spears this motherfucker and have him signed up to the Toohey family. That's some Suge Knight shit. They signed him up.
Anybody else?
Yeah, they signed him to Toohey Records.
Anybody else in that same Suge Toohey Records? Anybody else who has any type of situation like that better check any kind of paperwork they sign. I agree with you about the Ole Miss because football is life for these kinds of schools. But I also believe that part of it was fame. You're right. They don't need his money. But what, when you have money and you have all this power, one thing they didn't have was fame. The guy who wrote the book was their friend. They made this book into a movie. It gave them this platform to highlight and position themselves as these do-gooders and these white saviors. That is something that they were able to get. And with the conservatorship, they were able to control how they were able to do it using his name, image, and likeness. So I think it was a little bit of both. They saw the opportunity to become famous, and they did. From the situation, walking in circles that their money necessarily couldn't get them in. Being on the stage at the draft with him, being at the Oscars right there with them, hanging out with Sandra Bullock. I mean, and also to add to this, I don't know if you saw, Leanne, and it's Sean too, but definitely Leanne is obsessed with white savior mentality, the white savior mentality and the white savior complex. There's a story out there where she was, did you see this? Mm-mm. She was at her one of her restaurants, a KFC. She's with her friend. She sees two black kids in the corner. And she, according to her story, her friend says, look at them. They're probably up to no good. And Leanne takes it amongst herself, like gets up, walks over to the boys and approaches them. And is like, what are you guys doing? They're like on the phone with each other, these two kids. On the phone with each other, looking to each other, talking, you know, closely. And she's like, what are you guys up to? Let me see your phone. Let me see what you're doing. Just totally inserts herself in this, sees that they're trying to go to a basketball game, takes it upon herself to give them, according to her, money, bus fare, and something else she does. Then she proceeds to take a picture with the two of them and post it on her social media and tell this story. One of the kids wrote underneath it, and he's like, I don't understand why she's telling this story. I've had a job. I had my own money. The gym was a three-minute walk away, so we didn't need bus fare. And then he said something else about it as well. This woman is obsessed with exploiting Black people to show that she is, quote, air quotes I'm using, a really good person.
You missing the story, though, man.
What am I missing?
That they said they was going to a basketball game. She thought these niggas was playing in the game.
No.
She thought they was going to get buckets, bro. She thought they was going to get buckets, man.
She thought
they was going to run it up. She was like, I might have a guard and a forward combo right here. Who knows?
You're right.
Put them in the house. Let little LJ or whatever. Teach them the finer points of the game or whatever. Next thing you know,
you're right. Boom,
I'm back at the draft.
She saw two, but the NBA this time, you're right.
The NBA
you're
this right. time. She didn't know. She said all she heard was, let's look at them. She heard basketball. She was like, oh, let's go see what little LaMichael and LaDarius over there doing. They might be throwing lobs to one another. You know what I'm saying? These niggas was working. They probably was just getting off work at the KFC. And then she was like, ew, niggers. This picture of Michael Orr from the draft is hilarious, bro. It's one black person.
I know, don't. And the way Leanne's just looking up at him, I can't. Yeah. Got their whole family up there.
My dad thought something else.
This story actually really makes me upset. My dad thought
there was something else going on.
Let's move on to the next.
My daddy used to say, rest in peace to my daddy. My daddy used to say, yeah, can't tell me that. Got that big ass nigga living up in a house. Somebody was getting spread open.
Oh my gosh.
Rest in peace, daddy. He's like, got that big ass nigga. I didn't see the movies. You ever see Drum, son? Y'all go watch Drum. Y'all never saw Drum. Y'all didn't watch them type of slave movies from back in the day. You ever see Drum?
No.
Go watch Drum. Chloe, you ever see Drum? Chloe definitely ain't never seen Drum before. Definitely not. You definitely from the hospital.
So matter of fact. No, never seen it.
My dad used to watch movies like Drum.
Okay, yeah. Pam Grier's in it.
Yeah. Ken Norton, I think, is Drum. You know,
Ken Norton is Drum, yes.
Right. Drum was a slave, but Massa's wife.
Oh my gosh, I'm looking at the cover art.
Yeah, it took a liking to Drum. Like my dad, he looked at the world through a Drum mind frame. He always thought something was going on. All right, man. Last topic. We gotta talk about it. Keke Palmer and Usher.
Yeah.
This episode is brought to you by Hotels.com. I was traveling internationally last year. I was in Mallorca. I didn't know the island well. I said, let me head to the north, head towards the water. Let me go on hotels.com and see what they have available. Something preferably on the beach, maybe even a gym. Not only did I get those things, there was a kids session with exercise, gymnastics in the water, pony rides, a train. It had everything, and I didn't even want any of those things. But at least I knew they were there, just in case I changed my mind. And now finding the perfect hotel has never been easier, thanks to the Hotels.com app. Whether you're looking for a family-friendly, right, all-inclusive, or a relaxing spa weekend, you can find exactly what you need and compare hotel prices, ratings, and amenities side by side. So start planning your next getaway and find your perfect somewhere in the Hotels.com app.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Yo. Video's called Boyfriend. Kiki Palmer reenacts the Usher You Don't Have to Call video. Darius Jackson, her, I guess now ex.
It's a wrap.
It's over between her and Darius Jackson. She shades Darius in this video. Video dropped on Wednesday. Song repeats, someone said that your boyfriend was looking for me. Oh, that's cool. What goes on in the video? Did you watch the video?
I watched it. I enjoyed it. I was entertained. What?
You know that I love Kiki Palmer, right?
Yes.
You know that I love Kiki Palmer. Capital L.
I know you do. I capital love Kiki L. too.
Love, but love.
Go ahead, hit her with the
love,
butt then.
Love. When hit I say Kiki I love butt. Kiki Palmer, when I say I love Kiki Palmer, like love, Kiki Palmer is one of the most talented people in this world. She's accomplished so much.
Don't do all this by you about to hit her with the butt.
Youngest talk show host ever, I think. Fantastic actress, singer, dancer, whole nine. I felt like this was corny. I felt like this was something I would expect. This is like
corny. The video, the song, her making the reference at the very end about being a mother. What was corny to you? Get specific.
I just feel like the whole thing is like a little tacky, man. Like it's like, okay, so, and look, I could be in the Mojo Dojo Casa house right now. I could be sajiing it up. Oh, I am.
You are. Right? You are.
I'm in
the
Mojo Dojo.
You're living in the master bedroom.
I'm in the master bedroom of the Mojo Dojo Casa house right now, is what you're saying.
Yeah.
Okay. So, but I looked at this and I'm like, it just feels like you're dragging it. It just kind of felt like, and this was definitely a situation to where I put on the Saji hat and was like, you know, how about this? When August Alsina made the song, the Entanglement song, I was like, that's corny. Remember, we talked about it on here. I'm like, all right, man, you're dragging it, bro. Like, that's corny to me. That's something that I'm looking at. I'm like, come on, bro. Like, it's a real life thing that's happening. Obviously, it's playing out in front of the entire world and stuff. But when you're doing this thing and you're dragging it now, it's like a whole deal. I'm looking at that as you're taking gossip and putting it out there. You're extending that. For him, it kind of makes, I guess, sense because he wasn't really popping when that whole thing was going. At least musically, August Alsina is a very talented individual. But for her, everything she got going on, I just would not think that she would do something like that. And the same way I thought it was kind of corny for him to have done that, I think it's kind of corny for her to do it too. And this is coming from the corniest nigga in the whole fucking world. So I just think, I'm like looking at this like, man, come on, bruh. Nah, dog.
I did not think it was corny. I'm here for, was it petty? Yeah. And I'm always here for a little bit of pettiness. I enjoy it. And I think Kiki is in her full right to do something like this when he tried to publicly embarrass and shame her. So I looked at it more like, okay, Kiki's entitled to her petty moment. And she did it in what I thought was a fun way. It was a fun video. They were playing around. They're not together anymore. If I was going to have one criticism, I would just say, like, this is the father of your child. So, like, it's you know, like, you don't want, who knows? They might be fine. She might have been like, I'm going to do this video. I'm going to have fun with it. But, like, maybe you don't want to cause that type of tension.
I know that that's not the case, though.
Maybe you don't want to cause that type of tension with the father of your child. But I thought it was fun. And I think that she was in her right to have this one moment. Now, if she does a part two, I'm going to be like, okay, now you're dragging it out. But I thought this was harmless. I thought that this was a way of, like, you turned a situation that was really messy into something light and fun. And
At the expense of the father of your child.
But he did that to her. That's why I say, I'm okay with you having your one petty moment. He did that to her. So I feel like she gets gets to hit him back one time. Mm. She gets one hit back.
In this way. You don't feel
it in a creative way. She's a creative. Her way of getting it back wasn't to be petty and to do it in a tweet or right under a comment. Hers was, I'm gonna turn this into something creative.
I do feel like in that situation, and I always feel like this, I do feel like in that situation, once again, love, 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 love Kiki Palmer. Love Kiki Palmer. I do feel like in that situation, though, that the power of one celebrity has to be considered. It does. The power of one celebrity has to be considered. And that's the way I look at these things, no matter, like, if you are a man and your significant other is not famous, if you're a woman and your significant other is not famous, your ability to make the entire world, like, harp on one person and your ability, and that's not to excuse anything that he did, because I thought that was corny. And I thought that's a situation that you do not have publicly, right? Mm-hmm. But I think for us, the retaliation can be equal when she's so much more famous than him. And now she's back with Usher doing it as well, right? It's just like, it's kind of like somebody kicks you in the shin and you turn around and take a knife and slash their face. It's like, yeah, you can. I mean, look, but think about it though. Like, now
she's gonna have the whole world singing boyfriend.
It's like you can, but to me, this was corny to me, man.
It's the ultimate petty. It's like when Shakira made up the song about her ex and it was a top 20 hit. And it's like, you got the whole world dogging your ex. I love that kind of thing.
But that dude was like, at least that dude was a millionaire soccer player, right? That was PK, right? That was, at least he was like a millionaire soccer player. You know, like basically, I'm just looking at this. I'm like, come on, man. Like,
this is it. This was her one thing.
But it's not the one thing now, because now there's now it's a song.
The
song lives forever.
Lives forever. It's
hey, but look, at the same time, don't take your shit to Twitter, man. Don't take your shit to Twitter. But I do feel it. I do think it's interesting in the era where we're like litigating how people should respond to things that have been done to them. I just don't know that this was some ill shit, some tight shit. I thought it was corny, man. But
okay, that's fine.
Everybody, like, I'm corny that's sometimes. Fine.
Take us out. Let's ride out the end of the podcast to Boyfriend with Usher.
Put Boyfriend on. Boyfriend, Usher, they own skates. You don't have to call. Song goes. Video goes too. You know what I'm saying? Darius says he's gonna be an actor. He says he's gonna be an actor now. Let's see how well.
He wasn't already an actor?
I don't think so. I know that Sarunas is, but I don't know that he's been in anything. I don't know that he's been an actor, but hopefully this is the last.
What did he do?
Trying to get me to. I don't know what this man did. See?
Oh, well, you know he's going to be an actor, so I thought maybe you knew what
that
he
was
did.
In People Magazine or something like. Oh. Yeah, it was like they
the inside scoop.
They broke up. You know what I mean? So it's like now, just kind of. I don't know. I'm not that big of a fan of taking the gossip off the streets and then making it into a song. I didn't like it when August did it. I thought that was kind of lame, and I'm not on board with it. But it's not that big of a deal, man. Kiki Palmer, still Kiki Palmer. Love Kiki Palmer. Love Kiki Palmer, but it is what it is. Okay, we don't have a mailbag today, do we, Chloe the Alien?
Runs for Ice Cream said, if you could pick one movie for the other to watch, what movie would you pick and why?
It's impossible to answer. It's impossible to answer.
I mean, you've probably seen every movie that I've ever seen.
So. No, that's not true. Because remember, we did Fun and Dick and Jane. I've never watched that before.
Oh, yeah. It's okay. Well, Fun with Dick and Jane.
Fun with Dick and Jane. What would I want?
It would, that would not be the one. I'd have to
You know what? I got one for Rachel and I got one for all the Thought Warriors. Y'all go find Drum. No. Y'all go watch Drum and then see why my dad was really, really infected with a Drum type mentality. He swore that Drum was going on in the Tui household. Y'all go watch Drum. Watch Drum this weekend. I will follow anyone that watches Drum.
Apparently you can watch it on Tubi.
Oh,
or
shit.
Roku. Now,
you know it's good. I will follow anyone that watches Drum this weekend and then comes to me on Twitter and talks to me about Drum. But you can't just, I need to see scenes from Drum on Twitter. Yeah. All right. Because y'all could go read like a, I need to see y'all watching Drum.
It is. It's on Tubi.
Or actually on Threads. Tubi. On Threads. Let's not fuck X. Let's do it on Threads.
I forgot about Threads.
I bet you
already
did.
I put up one thing. I totally forgot that existed.
All right. Next question, Chloe.
So My Balloon asks, what's one reason you think you could never fall for joining a cult and one reason you think you could absolutely fall for joining a cult?
That's a good question. One reason I could never fall for joining a cult is because I'm not letting nobody fuck Kalika like that. And that always seems to be something that you have to do in the cult.
Don't bring her into it.
But like if, when you join, I'm not going to join a cult that she's not going to be involved in. But it seems like a lot of these cults, you join the cult, right? And then you join the cult and it's good for a while. And then some guy with fucking shoulder length hair comes over to you and says, hey, now that you're in the cold and things are going good, it's time for me to fuck your wife. And these guys give their wives up for these guys to fuck their wives. And so I think I could be in the cult until that point. One reason why I would join the cult is because I like to have people to kick it with, you know?
The community.
Yeah, I like to wear the same clothes as people and, you know, go around. And I like to, like, have my crew be separate from people. So it's like we over here doing our thing. So that's one reason why I could, one reason why I couldn't. What about you, Rach?
Okay, I agree with your one reason that could, right? Like the sense of community, like we all got each other's back. We're here for each other. I could see how that's attractive. But I'm not going to say I have a problem with authority, but I feel like I'm a little too opinionated and outspoken to fall in line with a cult. Following one person in that way where you can't object to anything that they say, you can't challenge them, that's not going to work for me.
You're not fucking with that.
Mm-mm. Mm.
Okay. Mm. Okay. I mean, look, that's what the reason why. Look, Chloe, Donnie's been gone. We appreciate the work that you've put in. We appreciate everything that's going on. We appreciate the Tui family.
Good night. Let's go.
What? The Tui family, basically.
For what?
The Portuguese. The Tui family.
We're giving a roadmap on how to capture a Michael Orr. You too can find one.
The Tui family is basically the Portuguese that showed up in the Congo back in the day. Just said, hey. Right. All right. Take your thinking caps off. We'll do not stop learning. I am Van Lathan Jr. We're thinking about you, Hawaii.
I'm Rachel Lynn Lindsay. Bye, guys.